Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach. Last week, we talked about where to look to find the path to fulfillment and satisfaction in life. We looked at the path which the world points us to wins and to money and to image, position, to championships, to stuff, to the accumulation of things. And we looked at the lives of a few well-known figures, one in golf and one in football, trying to find their way, trying to find their path in the midst of that never-ending call of the world to things that don't last, transient, temporary things. And we saw that when they got there, they found that what they thought they were looking for wasn't there, and they didn't know where to look. We also heard from some others, pointing us to a path to fulfillment and satisfaction based upon a relationship with and a trust in and surrender to the God who loves you and loves me and is always with us, and they found it there. Today, we'll look at how that relationship with Christ calls us and points us toward relationships with others, reaching out as he did to others, recognizing moments he creates for us to touch one-on-one the lives around us, no matter who, no matter where, or no matter when. Lives who are also looking for something more in life and realize time and time again in their climb up the ladders that society says are the ladders they ought to climb and their journey on those world's pathways that the world points to, that it's not there. And who too often, somewhere along the way, begin to cry out in desperation for help, maybe even wondering, God, where are you? I remember that it was a God-appointed moment that morning a number of years ago in a Starbucks on Blake Street in Denver, Colorado. It was a moment for my son, Nathan, and for me and a dear friend who is no longer with us. And what began as an hour-long meeting about Impact for Living in a day with tight schedules for all three of us, well, turned into a three-hour meeting on that day, talking about Impact for Living, making sure we understood, dreaming about what it could be, planning for the impact it could have in others' lives, and it made us late for the rest of the day and all the other appointments we had. But blessed in that moment, the three of us together looking to do what God wanted us to do and called us to do. Unfortunately, relational moments like that are being lost in today's fast-paced technological culture with the advent of all forms of social media to connect with others, often superficially, and diminishing those face-to-face moments that we have that are presented to us each day. Those moments of simply being with someone and focused on them. Instead, we find too many moments where we're physically there, but we're not personally or emotionally or relationally there because our mind is somewhere else or it's on our cell phone finding and fielding emails and texts and other messages. I'm pretty sure I know what my friend and mentor, Dr. Richard Halvorson, would do in those moments. The late Dr. Halvorson, 14 years the chaplain of the United States Senate, never kept a day timer or a schedule. He knew when he had to be in the Senate chamber to open the Senate each day in prayer, and he knew when a particular senator wanted to visit with him about something or someone. So instead of keeping a schedule, he simply made it a point to be where people were. And he did that by simply wandering the Senate chamber halls, stopping in at offices, talking to folks along the way. He made it a point to always know everything that was going on in someone's life, whether a U.S. senator or a member of their staff, one of the custodians, a clerk, a housekeeper, or the Senate dining room waitstaff. Lunches that I had and others had with him in the Senate dining room were always longer than planned because He wanted to get to know you better and your family and those he could pray for about something that was going on in their life. He engaged the waitstaff, and sometimes he even ate some of his lunch. Walks down the corridors with him back to his office or to a Senate chamber always took longer than normal because Dr. Halverson would be stopped by or would himself stop a staff member along the way to listen to talk about something he knew was going on in their life. He was always available to them, fully, as if no one else was there, allowing no distractions in the moment. A familiar face to most of us on CBS on the Sunday afternoon National Football League telecasts in the fall is the host of CBS NFL Sunday, James Brown, or JB to much of the world. Of course, the television viewing audience gets to connect through the television screen with a man who is likable and appealing. He's intelligent, thoughtful, energetic, just plain gracious, and genuinely nice. Until you meet him, that is, and realize that he's 10 times as nice as he appears on television. JB is truly one of the most humble men you will ever meet, and a man who would do anything for you, especially offering you a listening, caring ear when you need one. You know, watching JB after he speaks at a conference or a function is a lesson in what caring relationships should look like. As the line forms of those who are in the conference or the session who would like to have a personal word with him, it takes longer to get through that line than most lines you've seen before. And the reason is that to JB, the one person he is talking to in that moment in the line is the only person in the room, special, sacred. That's how he views them. And when that person is finished, JB moves on to the next person, but not until that person is finished talking and often praying with JB. God-appointed moments of which Dr. Halverson and JB were aware of simply being with that one person before you. It's Christ's lesson and example to us to be with others, not just physically, but also emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. That's the picture of the relationships Christ calls us to have with others who are often struggling to find that path to fulfillment and satisfaction in life. And maybe when we do have that moment with them, we leave them lifted and encouraged with a bit of hope restored for their next steps in life. The disciples were with Jesus wherever he went, and Jesus was always with them, looking for moments and opportunities to care for them and to build into their lives. But Jesus wasn't like that with only the disciples, but with everyone. In example after example in Scripture, we see that Jesus was always with people, always approachable and caring. He went to where they were and received them when they came to him, no matter what. He never missed a moment to be with, to help, to encourage, to heal, to change, and to love someone. His phone was off. Instead, he was always with other people, finding them where they were, spending time with them, and taking them where they ought to be. And always, always to a better place. He cherished every moment of the relationship with someone, and by his example, he suggests that we should do the same. Whether it's someone we know, someone new, or someone who crosses our path in a brief encounter, maybe for a few minutes, Jesus was always in the moment with everyone, and he calls us to do the same in our time with him and with others and for others. He calls us into a relationship with him and a deeper relationship and fellowship with him, but then he calls us and sends us out to build deeper relationships with others, to be with them, to care, to listen, to add value and have an impact for good in their lives, no matter who, no matter when, or for how long. To get out of ourselves, to focus outward on others. You know, you will be surprised, like I am, how much you feel his presence and peace when you do that. My friends, life is full of God-appointed moments, like that setting at the Starbucks on Blake Street in Denver, or a lunch table, or a conference, or a meeting on the street or in the hallway, or maybe just walking around your home, reminding us about the people and moments that truly matter now and for eternity. Will we recognize those God-appointed moments that He puts around us every day? Will we be there with and for Christ for others, one life at a time? We need to be. We need to be there. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for always being there for us, for always building into us, for always caring about us. But Lord, help us to answer your call on our lives to get outside of ourselves, to be there for others, to reach out to a world with you in desperate need of a touch of your love, to be there like you're there, to be there emotionally and spiritually and personally, to listen, to care, to help, to lift someone else. Thank you for putting people into our lives, Lord. And I don't know how many you're going to put in our lives today, but help us to be sensitive to them all around us, to make a difference in their lives with you and through you and for you. Thanks for those opportunities you will give us today and every day so that someone might see you through us. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for allowing us to be like you and to follow you and to be with you in all that you call us to do. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.